Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our prayer evening. And we pray that God would be here with us this evening and bless all of you who are listening in. Let us now seek God's face together as we ask his blessing on this evening together. Let us pray. Our gracious, eternal God, it is truly a good thing to draw near to you. And so we come to you this evening as we come together to seek your face together in prayer, to call upon your holy name, to seek your blessing upon this evening. And we pray, Lord, that you would draw near to us and be in our midst tonight, that you would indeed give us the spirit of true prayer, the spirit of grace and of supplications to call upon you aright. And we pray, Lord, that all that we do this evening would be done to your honor and to your glory. We ask that you would bless the reading from your word, all of the different readings and prayers that will be offered up. We pray that they would go up to you through Jesus Christ, that they would be acceptable in your sight through him. We recognize that we cannot approach you apart from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we thank you that he is at your right hand, that he is alive at this very moment to intercede for us, and that your Spirit is present within us to help us in all our infirmity to approach you with reverence and with godly fear. And we do ask then that you would help all of us and help the two brothers who are here with me this evening as we each seek to play a different part in the proceedings of this evening. And we ask that all those who are listening in from home through whatever means would be blessed by so doing. Bless all of us. Keep us in this week. Help us to commit this short time into your hands. Watch over us and keep us. Guide us and direct us and undertake for us in all things we ask. Go before us then, keep us and uphold us, and cleanse away our every sin. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, our scripture reading, which I hope to give a very short meditation on this evening, is found in the book of Psalms. And Psalm number 34, and I want to speak, just draw your attention to a few points that we can glean from this psalm about how we are to approach our fears in life. And so we'll read Psalm 34, and then I hope to give a very short meditation upon it. Psalm 34, the happiness of those who trust in God. Let us hear God's own holy word. This is David, of course, who's speaking. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. O congregation, brothers and sisters, I read Psalm 34 because, as I said, I want to say a few words this evening on the subject of facing or approaching our fears. And fear is something that affects all of us, regardless of our age or position in life, because fear is a normal human reaction to real or imagined danger. And all of us are going to experience real or imaginary dangers at some time or another in life. Fears brought on because of people or places or our circumstances or even our own thoughts. And fear is all around us at present because of the coronavirus and all of the uncertainty that accompanies it. Well, that raises the question then, what are we as Christians to do when we do encounter fear for whatever reason, or when those fears threaten to overwhelm us or paralyze us? Well, as I said, I believe Psalm 34 has something to teach us about how to approach our fears. And remember, the backdrop of this psalm is 1 Samuel, chapters 21 and 22, which tell us about young David. David had just been newly anointed as the king of Israel, and he found himself on the run from the old king, Saul, because Saul was jealous of his popularity after his victory over Goliath. So Psalm 34 was written by a man who knew what it was to be afraid and in great danger. But Psalm 34 was also written to provide us with instructions about how we can deal with fear and actually use that fear to deepen our walk with God. I just want to point out very briefly three ways that the psalm does this, and we only have time to make a few passing comments on each of these three ways. Well, the first way it does this is by reminding us that in every situation that we find ourselves, we are to remain committed to a life of praise to God for what he is in himself and for what he has done for us in the past and what he is promising to do for us in the future when we do walk with him. You can see that if you look at verses 1 to 3 again, where David calls on us to bless and magnify and exalt the Lord and make our boast in him at all times, to have his praise in our mouth continually. Because you see, David knows that fears tend to give us tunnel vision. Fears can actually blind us to what is actually true, the truth about who God is, what he has done in the past, and what he can do again in the future. And we must actively seek to counteract fear then by constantly praising and magnifying God. Because you see, while fear very often magnifies potential fears or dangers that we see on the horizon, praise, on the other hand, will lead us to magnify God himself. And you see, when we focus our attention on our great God then, and the threats driving our fears, they will be cut down then to their proper size. And even though they may be formidable and very real in and of themselves, we can still praise God because He is more powerful still than any threat that you and I can or ever will face in life. And you see, when we worship Him then, even though the thing which causes our fear may not immediately dissipate or be taken away, it will help us to make God bigger in our experience. But then secondly, when we're afraid, we are also to remain committed to a life of prayer to God. You can see that in verses 4 to 7, and also in verses 15 and 17, where David tells us how he sought the Lord, how he looked to Him and cried out to Him to save him from all of his troubles and deliver him from all of his fears. Because you see, David also knew that when we do pray, prayer actually invites God into our fears and into the situation that is causing us fear and alarm. And so rather than allowing our fears to paralyze and immobilize us, we ought to let them drive us out of ourselves to God Himself, the only one in reality who can deliver us from them. And you see, just as it's true that a life of praise to God serves to magnify the greatness of God in our experience, so too a life of prayer will have the tendency to have the same effect. Remember, prayer directs our hearts and our minds to the one who is really in control of all things and who has every resource at his disposal to bring us aid in a time of fear and to deliver us from all of them. And never forget, God has many ways of deliverance open to him. And so we need to be careful not to limit God as to what he can do in our lives when we commit our way to him in prayer. David speaks in verse 7, for example, of the angel of the Lord. And as we know, the angel of the Lord was the one the Lord often used to deliver his people from great danger in the Old Testament. But always remember, God doesn't have to show us ahead of time how he will intervene in our situation to bring deliverance. But he does expect us to go to him in faith and in trust, and to put our needs and our fears into his hands with the expectation that he is the hearer and answerer of prayer. And that means that we are to trust that in his own way and in his own time, we can be confident that we will see and experience his help in answer to our prayers in whatever form that may take. But then the third way to deal with our fears is by committing to pursuing righteousness and walking in the fear of the Lord. We see that taught really in the remainder of this psalm from verses 8 through to the end. Because you see, David is also conscious that the greatest antidote really to all other fears is the fear of God himself. Because the fear of God, which expresses itself in an attitude of awe or reverence for who God is, and an attitude of ongoing dependence upon him, will in turn lead to a life that is pleasing and acceptable to God. A life of obedience that God has actually promised in his word to honor. And you see, when we do walk before the Lord in righteousness, then we have the witness of the Spirit within us that we are pleasing to him. And we can rest assured that we will not want for any good thing, as this psalm says, or fail to see and experience the goodness and provision of God in our lives. As God himself says in Psalm 84, he will not withhold any good thing from them that do walk uprightly in pursuit of righteousness, And you see, as the Bible says, when our hearts don't condemn us, when we are seeking to walk before the Lord, we have confidence, the Bible says, toward God that He will hear our prayers, that He will be near to us, as David says, even in the midst of all of our fears and afflictions, which are many, as he says in verse 19. But even though that is true, we can trust that God will protect us, that He will keep us in a time of trouble. Because you see, He has purposed to deliver the righteous. But the same is not true of the unrighteous, those who do evil. David says here, David says, the face of the Lord is set against all such. And that means then, in times of fear, times of trouble, we should be concerned in all of life to pursue after righteousness in the fear of God by walking humbly and softly before Him with a contrite and a broken spirit, as this psalm says. You see, as the hymn writer says so well, the soul that on God has leaned for repose, he will not desert to his foes. For that soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, he'll never, no never, no never forsake. Well, we all need to learn then, in the face of all our fears, to remain committed to a life of praise to God, a life of prayer to God, and a life in which we pursue those things that are pleasing to God. But you see, as this psalm is saying, when we do those three things, we will find Him to be all that He has revealed Himself to be. And we will be able then to possess our souls in patience and in hope, in the midst of all of the troubles or fears and afflictions that we can meet with in life. Amen.
Good evening. I would like to start by reading a poem for you. It's entitled, But, and it's referenced from Matthew 21. But for the gospel's joyful sound, nor hope nor help had sinners found. But for the sovereign grace of God, our souls had perished by His rod. But in His word, poor sinners view a Savior's faithful, just, and true. And all who know Him gladly own, they have no trust but Him alone. But oh, let Christless sinners fear in wickedness to persevere. For if in sin their lives they spend, nothing but wrath can be their end. But hark, the scriptures thunder loud, against the haughty and the proud. The proud God never will endure, but pride will make their ruin sure. But let not hypocrites presume, but know that dreadful day will come when God no longer will forbear, but make their dark deceit appear. But let the poor awaken soul, but look to Christ, He'll make them whole, but never of His love despair, but on Him wait by faith and prayer. But let believers gladly raise to Jesus songs of grateful praise, for through His love, Almighty King, they've many glorious buts to sing. Let us now turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we come before You once again, and at this time we want to pray for this world that we live in. We thank You for this beautiful country that we may enjoy, for the freedoms we have, and the rights we have to worship You, unhindered by those who are opposed to Your word. And though we have all these things, we also see how this world groans under the weight of sin that has been afflicted upon it by man. And so we plead with you that in your wrath you would remember mercy, and that you would look kindly upon us as a country and a nation. We pray for all our government, for our municipal, provincial, and federal governments. We pray that you would bless them, and that you would bless the means they are using to curb this coronavirus, that it would indeed work for good and to its end. We also plead for these leaders of our land, that they would have a regard for your holy name, that they would understand that in whatever office they hold, they are to be your servants, for you indeed have ordained them. Let them see that their idea of together we can defeat this virus should not be their first response, but that it would be a call to prayer, looking to you for help and acknowledging that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And so we pray for a revival in our country, beginning with our government, that the light of Christ might be rekindled, and that even in this, your will be done to the glory of your most holy name. And, O Lord, we understand and have been told that we are going into a recession. We know that the implications of this, the various financial setbacks, the business slowdowns, the decreasing profits, the massive layoffs, and the joblessness. And so we do pray for the many people who have lost their jobs because of COVID-19. We know that you are a God that provides. Your word is filled with stories you provided for your people. So we pray that we and all those who have lost their jobs would learn to trust in you even more, and that you would open doors for those who are seeking work, and that as things begin to open up, jobs would also be more available. O Lord, we know that you are sovereign over these things as well, and although we do not understand how and why these things happen, we acknowledge that your purpose and design is perfect. For have you not said in your word that my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose? So teach us then to lean on you for all our needs, both in body and in soul. We pray for the farmers in our congregation, but also in all our land. We know that you are the God of springtime and harvest, and that you do feed us from the abundance of the earth. And so we give you thanks for those who do work the ground, for all farmers who till the ground and plant the seed and watch over the crops and harvest, so that others may eat. We are reminded, even in this, that every good and perfect gift comes from you. We thank you that thus far the seeding has gone well, and we pray that you would allow rain and sunshine in its proper time to produce a full crop for harvest. We also think of those who work, whether it be in offices or in factories, and industries that produce so much that we use to live and thrive on. We are grateful for these jobs, and we pray that they would stay strong even in this dark time. O Lord in heaven, we are truly dependent on you, for to who else do we turn? There is no other God beside you, and your word has told us to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so as we come boldly before you, we pray that even tonight you would hear and answer all our prayers. And we ask this all in the finished work of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Good evening, congregation. And at this time, we would like to go into a prayer more specifically for the congregation. And we would like to bring all of our needs and then before the Lord. And we don't know all your needs, but the Lord does. And as much as we do, we will do our best to bring that before the Lord. At this time, a couple of announcements. It is with thanksgiving that Hank and Gonda Rosendahl had a baby boy this past Monday, I believe. I don't have all the details, but we certainly will give thanks to the Lord for that. And the other thing is that our sister Margot Floatman, I believe, will celebrate her birthday tomorrow. And I know in the bulletin it was said that she was turning 78, and I'm probably sure she would love to believe that, but I believe it's 88. And so our thoughts go out to her as well, celebrating another birthday. So let us go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Our Heavenly Father, once again, in this evening we come to you in prayer. And Lord, this is an evening of prayer set aside that we might indeed lay before you the concerns that we have, Lord, in these difficult times. And Lord, we pray that we would come in the right spirit of prayer before you. For Lord, part of us would like to say, just make this stop. Just make this COVID go away. Lord, we don't like pain. We don't like inconveniences. Lord, we might think, let's just have things normal. But Lord, maybe you're telling us that normal is not what we need to have. Maybe our normal is not to the better end of what your thoughts are for us and for this world. And so we pray, Lord, that in our prayer we might be mindful of the prayer that our Savior gave us, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so, Lord, we pray that indeed your will be done. And we know that it will, for, Lord, you are almighty. But yet, Lord, we pray that you would also place in us, truly asking that your will might be done on earth as it is in heaven, on earth right where we are here. And Lord, we know too that you have said that we are to call out to you in prayer. For you have said in your word that you ask but you do not receive because you ask amiss. And so Lord, we pray that we would not ask amiss, but that we would ask once again that your will would be done. And Lord, as we think about this, we think of our Savior, who also was in prayer with you oftentimes on this earth. He took time to be away from the multitudes, to be away from the cares of this world, all the things that were surrounding him, to be in prayer with you. And Lord, what a blessing that must have been for him to be able to talk to you. And that's also a blessing that we can have too, Lord, for you make intercession for us, O Lord Jesus. And so we thank you, Lord Jesus, for that also. And Lord, we also know of a time when our Savior prayed to you, O Lord, take this cup away from me, if it could be your will. And Lord, you could not take that cup away, for then we would all be lost. And so we thank you, Lord Jesus, for going the way of the cross for us who believe, for sinners who deserve nothing and yet can rejoice in having everything through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we are a blessed people. Help us, Lord, to know this more and more. Help us, Lord, to be ready to tell this to others as well, that they also may know of the hope that is within us. Lord, work in us, we pray. And this time, Lord, we want to bring before you the needs of the congregation. Lord, you know the needs better than we can tell them to you, and yet you ask us to bring our burdens to you, to lay them before you. And so at this time we pray for those who are widows and widowers. And we think of Jake DeVries. We think of Rita Mankfeldt. Lord, we pray that you would be near them in their needs, being alone. And then we think of Joyce Skinner also, and how difficult it must be for her on a day like today when they remember the passing of their dear Lowell, father and husband. Lord, be near to them in a special way, we pray. Uphold them in your care. Lord, be near to them in a way that only you can. Strengthen them, we pray. We pray for Mina Auden also. Lord, that you would be near to her and all her needs. Lord, that she might call to you in her needs also, and that you would hear her. You know where she is in the home. Oh, Lord, be near to her, we pray. We pray for Grace Benjamins also, a widow of many years. Lord, that you would still uphold her in your care as well. And though she can be at home, she's so much on her own too because of this virus. And so, Lord, we pray, be near to her. We pray for Margaret Floatman, who also is on her own still in a home and not able to have visitors at this time. But also, Lord, we give thanks with her that she might, on the day of tomorrow, celebrate her birthday. Lord, you have given her many, many years. And Lord, we thank you for that. And we pray, Lord, that she still may be to the congregation and to her loved ones a remembrance of all the many blessings that you have bestowed upon her these many years. Continue to be with her, O Lord, we pray, and uphold her in your care. And we pray, O Lord, for those who have special needs also at this time. We pray for Ron Pennings with his ongoing battle with ailments that are out of his control. Lord, that you would uphold him and sustain him. And Lord, we know that his trust is in you. And so we thank you, Lord, that in his difficulties that he might turn to you. Lord, uphold him, we pray. We pray for Jeff Kenyon, who is in a home, and Lord, you know his special circumstance as well. And Lord, we pray that you would be near to him also in a very special way. Reach out to him, Lord, when in many ways so few of us can. Lord, we pray, have mercy. We pray also for Jackie Pohl with her ongoing concerns and how this virus also must be a concern in a special way also to her with her special needs. Lord, uphold her together with Richard and their family. Lord, look upon them in your mercy, we pray. We pray also for Willem Hull with his continued concern with his throat and all that goes along with that. Lord, that in his difficulty he might turn to you and look upon you as the one who can do all things also for him. And we pray this for Anna Dunlop also with her ongoing battle with cancer. And Lord, that in her difficulty and need she also might turn to you. Be with her together with her husband Chuck, that you would bless them together, O Lord, and that you would grant them all that they stand in need of as well. We pray for Linda Pohl, Jim's wife, with her problem that she has with her knee, the operation that she had that was unsuccessful, and that in due time she may have to have a knee replacement. Lord, we pray that in her difficulty and need that you would be near to her also, together with her husband and family as they look on. And Lord, we pray that in due time that you might give that she may be able to have the operation. We pray for our pastor, O Lord, that you would be near to him also, that you would uphold him as he goes about the business of bringing your word to your people here in this congregation. And Lord, we pray that you would indeed give him all that he stands in need of, to bring your word, to bring it with conviction, to bring it with warning, to bring it with building your people up. And Lord, that we might be a praying people for him, that indeed we might pray him full, that indeed he might be able to preach us full. So Lord, help us to be diligent in this as well. Lord, we pray for those who are at home with their families at this time, raising their children, not having them in school, and some of the extra stresses that can go along with this as they are homeschooling. And Lord, that you would be near to them in a special upholding, strengthening way. Grant them, O Lord, much patience and care and love for their children. Together with the fathers also, Lord, help them to lead their families. Lord, that they might bring them up in the fear and honor of your most holy name. For Lord, these children you have given us are your children by covenant. And so, Lord, we pray that you would also bless your covenant people, that you would work in their hearts and lives at a very young age already, drawing them, O Lord, to yourself. Lord, have mercy, we pray. At this time, we'd like to give thanks to you, O Lord, for a healthy baby boy, Hendrik Rosendahl, given to Hank and Gonda Rosendahl. Lord, your name be glorified for these things also, and that you would be near to them, Lord, and continue to uphold and strengthen mother and child and father also in raising this child. Also, Lord, that they would raise this child in the fear and honor of your most holy name. We pray for our elderly also, Lord. We pray for them that are in their homes and yet are isolated in many ways. But we thank you, Lord, for those that still have husband or wife with them also. And we pray at this time for Peter and Francis Timmermans in their home. Lord, be near to them in their need. Help them to look to you also in their need. And we pray for Stuart and Rita DeVries with all their concerns, with their health concerns, with their every need, O Lord, that they also may lay them before you and call upon you, knowing that you are a faithful God to them as well. We pray for Hank and Grace Coskamp. Lord, we pray a special amount of your mercy upon our sister Grace as she looks after Hank as he is failing in health. And Lord, that you would be near to him, that his hope, his expectation also is in you, that when the day comes when he has to be taken from this world, that he would be all ready to meet with you also. Lord, have mercy here, we pray. We pray for our pastor and Mrs. Vanessen and all their needs and their higher age, O Lord, how things become more difficult, things that we take for granted so easy. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. That's not so easy anymore, especially for Mrs. Vanessen as she has difficulty getting around at all. Lord, be near to them, we pray. Lord, even as Pastor has brought your word these many years, And as he was faithful, Lord, to you, that you would also be faithful to him and his family and loved ones at this time. We pray for Martin and Karen Gitchlar. In their particular need also, Lord, be near to them, that you would be with them because they cannot be together. And yet, Lord, we pray that you would grant them all that they stand in need of too, that they may be looking to you, the God of their salvation. Uphold them and keep them, O Lord, we pray. We pray for Tinus and Margaret Otten. And Lord, you know them and their special needs also. We pray especially for Tinus, who is unable to speak, and this must be so difficult for him. But yet, Lord, we know that he can still speak to you. For we only have to have a thought toward you, Lord, and you are there. We pray for Margaret also in her difficulties as she forgets things. And Lord, we pray, have mercy. We pray for our brother Sid and Ina Vanderhyde, that you would be near to them in their home. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to uphold them in their needs also with their health concerns. We pray for Ina with her breathing difficulties. And Lord, that their trust might be in you. For you are a faithful God. Lord, help them to look to you. We pray also for Louis and Ina Visser. Grant them also, Lord, what they stand in need of. Keep them in your care, we ask. We pray too, Lord, for those who in our congregation are on the front line, those who are out there putting their lives, as it were, on the line because they could also contact this virus. And so we pray a special amount of grace and mercy towards them, O Lord. And we think at this time of Dr. Kenyon as he goes about doing the business of his day. Help him, Lord. Help him to trust in you to keep him safe, and help him to carry out his task in a way that is pleasing to you, Lord, that he may not only share health with people, but also that he might have opportunity to share with them who are struggling, that don't know you. O Lord, be near unto him, we pray. We pray also for Phil Kenyon, Janine Smid, Janice Rouser, Jessica Overbeek. These are nurses, O Lord, and we pray that you would be with them also when they're in the hospital, and others who are coming and going, maybe carrying sickness of one sort or another. But Lord, we pray that you would protect them from this, that you would keep them safe. And Lord, that they would also be calling upon you, looking to you as the one who can do all things and can keep them safe in all things also. We pray for others on the front lines too. We think of James and Nicole Jansen. We think of Amanda Pennings and Adriana Zekveld and Kiera Vanderhyde. Lord, as day to day, they are also in contact with other people. And so, Lord, we pray that you would be near to them. All of them, we pray, that you would keep them in your care. Once again, O Lord, we come to you asking that you would be with our congregation. We've mentioned many things to you in prayer, Lord, knowing that you are able. Lord, we pray that you would be willing, that you would help us to submit to your will, whatever it is that you have in store for us. For Lord, we're here but for a short time. And then we can look forward to a time when we can be forever with you. Lord, we can't grasp the thought of that. We understand where we are. You have us here on this earth. We walk this earth, and Lord, this is what we know. But you have said in your word that you have better things for us, that you would, for your people, everlasting glory. Lord, we cannot begin to imagine, but we pray that you would work in us a desire for that day when all things will be made new. Lord, we have asked many things. Lord, we know that you are able to do all things. Lord, we pray that you would have mercy on us. Remember us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to read at this time a meditation, and this meditation is from the Messenger, May of 2008, and this meditation is by Pastor John Koopman, and it's based on Isaiah 25, verses 8 and 9. And it's entitled, The Lord's Promise to His Weary People. Isaiah 25, 8 and 9. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of His people shall He take away from off the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Isaiah's purpose in writing these words to bring comfort to the people of God with the assurance that the Lord will triumph when He reigns in Zion, and further that His people will triumph with Him. The triumph of God's grace shines through the sorrows and trials of God's people. Here in these verses, we have the Lord's promise to His weary people. The prophet speaks of the time when the Lord will swallow up death in victory. In the beginning, when Adam sinned, death came upon the earth, and as a result, all the evils came along with it. Along with death came sorrow, sadness, sickness, and suffering. When death is swallowed up in victory, so also will all these miseries associated with it. Furthermore, when death is swallowed up in victory, it is forever. It will never again reappear. Paul echoes this Old Testament passage when he says, Death is swallowed up in victory. Corinthians 15, 5. The book of Revelation brings it out more clearly. There shall be no more death. Revelations 21, 4. Isaiah speaks of a time when God begins to reign in Zion. He will swallow up death so there will be no more need for mourning and sorrow. For what sorrow death has brought into the world. And this is a quote. It came with thorns and thistles at Adam's fall into sin. It is the bitter cup we must all drink. It is before us and behind us. It is on the right hand and on the left. It is mingled with the air we breathe. Our bodies are racked with pain, and we have sorrow. Our worldly goods are taken from us, and we have sorrow. We're encompassed with difficulties and troubles, and we have sorrow. Our friends forsake us and look coldly at us, and we have sorrow. Our family and friends don't understand us, and we have sorrow. We are separated from those we love, and we have sorrow. Those on whom our heart's affection are set go down to the grave and leave us alone, and we have sorrow. End quote. But our text speaks of a time when death is swallowed up forever, and the Lord God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. There will be no more reason for mourning and sorrow. We do know that in the New Testament, Christ, by His death, did swallow death in victory. However, we also know that the effects of sin remain to this day, and some of us are experiencing them personally. It is only with the second advent of our Savior from heaven that the promised blessing shall be realized to the fullest extent. Isaiah is bringing comfort by speaking of this victory, and then he begins to speak of the tender compassion of the Lord who will wipe away all tears from our faces. As a parent comforts and soothes his child, so the Lord of all power tenderly wipes away the tears of his people. For God to wipe away our tears, he needs to deal with the cause of our tears, namely sin. That's what Isaiah emphasizes when he states, "The rebuke of his people shall he take away from all the earth." The New Testament makes clear how this was done. He has done it in the death of his Son, who offered himself as a sacrifice for sin. So behind those comforting words is the cross of Christ and the final victory, which Christ has accomplished. And that's why John pictures heaven in a similar way when he says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Revelation 21:4. Isaiah assures us that this is the glorious future of the people of God by saying, "For the Lord has spoken." Israel's prophecy will certainly be fulfilled because it is the declaration not of man, but of God. It is the promise of God to his people that this day is a day that shall come. Isaiah in verse 9 and following continues to unfold more fully what he has said already. He tells us that when the day is come, when the day of fullness of salvation is revealed, when our tears are wiped away, when all sorrows are gone, then what will we do? We will say, in that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." In that day, when God wipes all tears away, people will speak his praises. We will remember the promises of God, and we will experience the complete fulfillment and glory. Having waited on him, we have the assurance that he will save us. We will then be glad and sorrow no more. We will then rejoice in the fullness of God's blessings towards us. We then will see, experience, and understand that our hopes were not in vain. It is his salvation, for he has provided it in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the future of all who have turned to the Savior, the Lord Jesus. What will that day look like? The fullness of it has not been revealed. The glory of it cannot be fully understood in our unsanctified state. John gives us a glimpse of what is to come through the redemption of Christ Jesus when he speaks of the new heavens and the new earth. The heaven and the earth shall be one. That will be the day when we will forever gather with the Lord, forever present with the Lord. For we read in Revelation 21, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away.'" If you are a believer, does not the thought of heaven filled with God's glory, does it not thrill you? Does it not fill you with delight to think that at this very moment there is a place where his glory is shining perfectly, uninterruptedly, without shadow or blemish? Soldiers have described how, amid the horrors of war, they were comforted by thoughts of home, a place of peace and happiness where their loved ones were safe, to know their home existed, strengthen them for battle. In the same way, we can pause in our struggles and disappointments of life and praise God for the reality of our heavenly home that be with Him. But that place will be where we will not only be in the presence of the Lord, but we will be in the presence of all who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation 21:27. On this earth, we often feel isolated, misunderstood, alone. But in heaven, we will belong to a huge family with an immense number in a place of many mansions, John 14:2. Those who will be saved are a great multitude, which no one can number, Revelation 7:9. Throughout eternity, we will meet with millions of brothers and sisters in Christ whom we never knew, from all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues. There will be no quarrels among us. There will be no misunderstandings, no prideful statements, no arrogant attitudes, no unkind expressions, but we will be one in Christ. Any relationship we have on earth will be better in heaven. We will certainly know each other in heaven. We only part with believing members for a time. Our relationship to a loved one will be all the sweeter in heaven. While there will not be marriage in an earthly sense, there will be a friendship with a spouse or a loved one closer than we could ever have on this earth. It could be more intimate. We will love them more intensely. We will delight in them more fully. It is impossible that we will lose any joy that we have here, but it will only increase in heaven. I know that Christ is all and in all, and in His presence that makes heaven be heaven. Yet it much sweetens the thought of that place to think there will be a multitude of dear and precious friends in that place as well. In heaven, we will enjoy rest as we have never experienced before. We will have rest from sin, both from external and internal aspects. We will rest from grief and suffering because God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There will be no more pain. Never again will we know any of sadness that we are experiencing now, for former things are done away forever. What a rest that will be. It will mark the complete fulfillment of one of our Savior's most winsome promises. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. If you are a believer, you need this present encouragement. Life can be hard, very hard. The words of man are often like the words of Job's friends, but the promises of God gives us hope in the midst of our afflictions. The suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us, Romans 8:18. Heaven is coming quickly, and our affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us in a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Thank you. At this time, I'd like to just close in prayer, but before I do, congregation, our thoughts are with you. Our wish is that we could be here together all in this house of God, but we know that we're not limited by this house of God, but that He can reach us where we are, and He can be with each one of you. Call out to Him, seek Him, for He is so near to us. What a God that we have. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank You. Once again, at the end of our evening here of prayer, we come before You again in prayer. Lord, we know that You have said, where two or three are gathered in My name, there I am also. And Lord, we are here with more than two or three. And Lord, so we pray and know that You are also in our midst. And that Holy Spirit, that You might work through these comforting words that we were able to have this evening, that it might reach out to the congregation to touch the hearts and lives of each and every one. O Lord, work in their hearts, we pray. And Lord, we pray if there are any who do not know you, that you would even this day, through this prayer evening, touch their hearts, create in them a longing, O Lord, for what we have heard about, a place forever, no sin, no sorrow, no suffering, no pain. Lord, we cannot imagine. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the hearts of man to understand the things that you have in place for your people. Lord, you are a gracious God. Lord, work in us, we pray. Forgive us, O Lord, anything that was against your will, even in this evening. Blot that out, we ask and pray, and we ask it because we ask it in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.